I'm Chris Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review. And joining me is Dan Friel. Did I get the right? Dan Friel?
Yes. Yep.
The co-founder of TBT, that's the basketball tournament. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Chris. I really appreciate it.
I'm thankful that you're joining me to do this. The basketball tournament, TBT, how long has it been around? What was the impetus for the creation of it? All that good stuff.
Yeah, we started in 2014 with our first tournament. So this will actually be our 11th tournament that we've had. Our 10th was last year. In terms of starting, you know, it kind of just started as a series of text messages and emails between two buddies that have been friends since we were 12, you know. Okay. And I oftentimes will say that it sometimes is like the modern day equivalent of two guys sitting around a bar and talking mm-hmm. about sports and imagining, you know, like what could be and what could happen. To be honest with you, it didn't really start as a business idea. It just was like something that we were just texting about. My buddy John Mugar and I were just texting about and emailing about and imagining, you know, like if you were going to start something from scratch, how would you do it? You know, what are the best parts of sports that you really love? You know, who are some of the guys that you would love to see play? And that when that one series of text messages kind of evolved over a relatively short period of time into this idea of staging a major basketball professional tournament in the United States. It was something that we didn't see existing already. And it was something that we thought would be a lot of fun to try. And just as, and again, not as a business concept, just as something that we thought would be interesting to do. And, you know, as time kind of progressed and we started talking more and more about it, and when we would mention it to some of our other friends, everyone had the same impression, like, man, why doesn't that exist already? Why aren't people already doing that? And, you know, luckily we were kind of able to pull some things together. You know, John was able to get the right investors and the right, the people involved professionally to do it. And we both kind of stopped what we were doing professionally at that point in 2014 and ran with it. And it's been, the ball's been rolling down the court ever since.
That first year, looking back on it, what was that first year like and how has TBT grown since year one?
It was crazy, I think is probably the only way I can describe it. We came into this without any background really in professional sports and in basketball specifically. We're huge sports fans. We were both college athletes, but it wasn't a situation where we knew for sure that this was going to work and we knew that people were going to show up. So what ended up happening was we did a lot of recruiting that first year. We were lucky to have launched with an article on Bill Simmons's old website called Grantland that mm-hmm. was written by Zach Lowe. And he wrote about this concept of a basketball tournament. And that kind of gave us some measure of credibility, but we were still reaching out to people blindly and still trying to get them to want to play in the event. And that first year, we did everything ourselves. You know, we were writing all the articles ourselves. We were managing the website. We did a voting process back then to get in. That was how teams got in back in the early days. And we were auditing all those votes ourselves. Like it was really a true handcrafted event. And so, Chris, when we got there, I was kind of playing a little bit of a role like you are right now, asking questions post-game of all of the participants. We had set up a press conference and, you know, mainly for archival purposes, we just wanted to record mm-hmm. what those folks were going to say after the game. And one of the questions that I asked everybody that came through, all 32 teams in that first year, was, what did you think when you heard about TBT? Every single person said, I thought it was a scam. I thought there's no way that this is going to happen. There's no way that they're going to pay $500,000 to some team that wins a basketball tournament. And, you know, to our long-term credibility, when the Notre Dame Fighting Alumni beat the Barstool team in that championship game in 2014, we immediately wrote checks to Notre Dame Fighting Alumni. All of those players got checks that night. They cashed them the next day. The money cleared. And then that kind of set the stage for what was going to happen down the line. And, you know, I think that what we've always tried to do is bring the same credibility to our event that we would bring to our normal lives. You know, we want to treat people fairly. We want to treat people, you know, with the golden rule of, like, you know, treat others the way that you want to be treated, and trying to extend that same courtesy to everyone that we would hope to have ourselves. And that has kind of helped us, I think, significantly over the years to build this event into what it's become. The last few years, we've been able to really capitalize and coordinate with a lot of really awesome basketball programs around the country. This year, we're so excited to be at Houston, number one team in the country. There's so much momentum mm-hmm. behind this program. There's so many great people involved with this event behind the scenes. And, you know, we're just very, very grateful for where we are right now.
year one had 32 teams. How many players on the team?
On average, it was about 10. You know, we actually had, John and I were just texting about this morning. We had one team that was led by Josh Selby, who you may remember from Kansas way mm-hmm. back when.
Yeah.
Selby showed up with four guys. And to his credit, he played a 4-on-5 game and almost won. He scored like 47 points himself. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that. But yeah, so that first year, it was on average about 10 players per team and 32 teams altogether. So it was a good chunk of people. We played the whole thing under one roof at Philadelphia University, which I think is now called Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. Championship game was in Boston. We did a vote that year to see where the championship game was going to be, whether it was going to be at Barstool's headquarters in Boston or in South Bend. Barstool won. So we played that championship game about 2 or 3 weeks later, towards the end of June 2014. We had no streaming plan. We had no TV plan, nothing. And that first year, it was going so well on that first day that ESPN reached out. We ended up streaming that championship game on ESPN3. And then we've had a partnership with ESPN over the last 9 years as a result.
That was going to be leading into some of my more other questions was that first one televised, streamed, and how has it grown since then? But excellent. Okay, yeah. Well, go ahead. Expound on it, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we didn't stream it. We recorded, we had a half-court camera that was kind of taking footage, again, mainly just so that we had it, you know, and for mm-hmm. scorekeeping purposes and record-keeping and stuff. But no, we didn't stream that first year, and we ended up streaming the championship game. Of course, the world has totally changed between 2014 and 2024. It's much right. easier to get stuff on the internet now. You know, it's a different dynamic than it was back then. But that first year, you know, we ended up partnering with ESPN for that championship game. The television coverage has expanded exponentially since then. You know, in the last 5 years or so, about half of our games end up on linear TV. You know, everything is streamed if it's not on linear TV. You know, we've been very fortunate to have a great a bit of coverage for the event and about the event over the last, you know, 10 years. It's grown quite a bit. I mean, the biggest change now is that there are folks that will come to these games. You know, we have thousands and thousands of people that are coming to these games. Every year we play in Wichita and we're getting 7,500 to 8,000 people to show up to see the Aftershocks. That's their alumni team play.
Right.
I have super high expectations for what's going to happen at the Fertitta Center this summer in Houston as well. And so hopefully we can set some records over in Houston.
Year one, 32 teams. How long did it take to play all the games for that tournament?
We played that over 4 days. So we went from 32 down to 2 over the course of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There was one day we played a doubleheader where teams had to play 2 games in a day. And then the championship game took place, like I said, a few weeks later in Boston.
And how many teams this year, 2024?
64. We've gone up and down on the numbers a little bit over the years, but 64 is a perfect number for us. And I think that's where we're going to be in the long term as well.
Is roster size still 10, roughly, approximately?
On average, I think teams will now carry about 11 to 12, typically. You know, they want to be able to play a 5-on-5 if they need to, or work through some sets and things like that. So, yeah, we extend that a little bit. But on average, teams will carry about 11 to 12 players.
What are the rules? How different is it, if at all, from college ball, NBA ball, FIBA ball, et cetera?
The biggest change that we have from the standard rules is that we use what we call the Elam ending. Mm-hmm. This is a concept where we play to a target score and, you know, every game ends on a made basket. So I think that is probably the rule that folks, if they know about TBT, that they know us for, is that Elam ending concept. That's the biggest change. Our fundamental rules of how the game is played are based upon college rules primarily. You know, we'll use high level Division I refs everywhere we go, guys that you've seen on TV, Big 12 refs that I'm sure you're watching now this year with how Houston is doing in the Big 12. But fundamentally, the rules are college rules. We use a college three-point line. We do play 4 9-minute quarters, so the game is a little bit shorter than you're used to.
Okay.
This game is over in a flash. Our average game time is about 1 hour 45. And so you don't have time to kind of get into the rhythm. You need to be in the rhythm the minute that ball is tipped. They're very competitive. As you can imagine, with this being a single elimination tournament for $1 million, you know, these games are very hard fought. You know, we want the games to be settled on the court rather than at the free throw line typically. So we'll let, you know, we'll let the guys play and handle it the way that they would, you know, either in a pickup gym or, you know, just in a very hard fought game. So what you see in our style of basketball is aggressive defense, really, really hard nosed, picks are set. You know, it's just a great form of basketball. John and I both grew up watching a lot of Big East basketball in the 80s and 90s, not to entirely date ourselves. Mm-hmm. But if you know anything about the Big East back then, that was the physical conference in the country. And that's why those teams did so well every year in the NCAA tournament. And that's kind of the model, generally speaking, of what we try to play with an on-court play perspective. The Elam ending really is the thing that stands out. If you haven't seen it, Chris, it's so much fun to watch. Every one of these games ends on a made basket. And every one of them basically is like a buzzer beater, you know? Mm-hmm. So the general concept, and I can explain it to those who aren't familiar, is that at the end of the game, in the last 4 minutes, the clock is turned off. We then add 8 to the team that's in front, and then that becomes the target score. So if the score is 72-70 at that 4 minute mark, the game clock gets turned off, the target score becomes 80, okay. And the first team to 80 wins. Now, what you get as a result of that is you don't have any of the end of the game fouling. Nobody's trying to stop the clock. You have to play good defense. If you get a stop, you can get the ball back and you can get that score back to where you need it to be. But it's super, super exciting. And once we did it in that first, trial round that we did in 2017, you know, we were just convinced that this was the future. So we kept doing it.
What are the dates for games this year?
We are going to be at the Fertitta Center on, let me just confirm that I'm not misspeaking here, but it's Friday the 19th.
Okay.
Then we're going to play second round game on Sunday, the 21st. And then the third round game is going to be on Tuesday, the 23rd. If Houston advances all the way to round 4, there's a possibility they'll host a quarterfinal game as well. That'll be either on the 29th or the 30th of July.
Who are some of the other cities, or how many have you got commitments for all 64 spots yet?
Well, we haven't announced them all yet. We do have commitments that we think are going to fill up that field pretty quickly. We always hold a few spots out because you always have some stragglers that come in that you really want to see play in the event, if you know what I mean. So we've got a few that are kind of we're holding in abeyance. But right now we've got 8 regional sites. We're going to play all around the country. We're going to play at Rupp Arena with the University of Kentucky alumni team as the host team there. We're playing at Freedom Hall, Historic Freedom Hall. It's our second year there with a Louisville alumni team that led by Russ Smith and Peyton Siva. And Montrezl Harrell is going to play for that team. We're playing at Fifth Third Bank Arena in Cincinnati. University of Cincinnati alumni team is going to be hosting that one. We're playing at University of Dayton Arena. This is, I think, our fourth year there with the University of Dayton alumni team. Obviously, Houston with the Fertitta Center. Wichita State, we're going to play at Koch Arena there. This is our fourth year playing there, and that place has really set the standard in terms of attendance, which has been fantastic. University of Pittsburgh, we're going to play there at their arena, Peterson Center. And the last one I have on my list here, but maybe the first in our hearts in some respects, is Hinkle Fieldhouse, which was famously at Butler, where they filmed Hoosiers. So if you're familiar with that movie, you know, that's the one where they have to confirm that the rims are 10 feet tall. And you know, we're really excited about playing there as well.
From a Houston perspective, what has been the response to the announcement of games being at Fertitta Center this year?
It's been awesome. I think it's exceeded all of our expectations. You know, behind the scenes, Bilal Batley and Lauren Sampson have been instrumental. Lauren in particular of making this work. And the insight that they've had into the Houston fan base, you know, the ability that they have, obviously, to get people excited and riled up. Rob Gray has been instrumental in pulling this team together. There's some incredible player announcements that we have coming up for this team that I think fans are going to be very, very happy about. But one of the great things about these alumni teams generally, and that I think fans are going to continue to respond to, is that you're seeing the players that helped build this program into what it's become now. You know, they may not have been the number one team in the country when Rob was there, but they were knocking on the door of getting to that point. And obviously the work that Coach Sampson has done, that Lauren has done, Bilal has done, and others within the program have accomplished over the last, you know, 5 to 6 years, was built upon the foundations that were laid by guys like Rob and the other players that he's going to announce soon. But we're just so excited about the whole thing. I think it's going to be awesome. Houston's such a great basketball town and, you know, continues to become more and more of a destination for, you know, really accomplished and elite level pros, whether in the NBA or overseas every summer. And so we're excited about sort of the energy, the vibe, everything that's going to happen there in Houston this summer is going to be really awesome, I think.
In his press conference a few days ago, Coach Kelvin Sampson said, you know, he speaks to Rob like every day, or Rob contact him every day or whatever, sometimes different odd hours of the night.
Yeah.
And Rob touched on, I guess basically Rob is the GM, and he was asking Coach his thoughts, Coach Sampson, his thoughts on a coach. So is TBT player coached, or is that a separate position?
Yeah, it's a separate position. Yeah. Most of the teams now, in the early days, it wasn't uncommon to have a player coach. We had one team that, you know, I think if you look at it objectively and look at the quality of the players, is one of the greatest unsung dynasties in the history of professional basketball. This team called Overseas Elite. They won 4 straight championships in TBT. On the 5th year, they made it to the semifinals and lost. And on the 6th year, they made it to the semifinals and lost. This is how great this team has been, or was. They're no longer playing TBT. That team had a head coach. Colin Curtin followed up by some others. But they were very player-focused. The thing that's neat about this event, Chris, and I think it's similar to the NBA in the respect that these guys are all pros now, you know, so as good as they may have been at the University of Houston at 21, 22 years old, playing 4, 5, 6 years overseas really tends to separate the wheat from the chaff when it comes to how good these guys actually are and how much they know about the game. I always say, if you're still playing professionally 3 years out of college, you really know what you're doing. And so what you're going to see is there will be a head coach. There will be someone that's calling the plays in the huddle. There will be someone that's calling the timeouts for sure. Who that is, I'm sure Rob is kind of holding off, and he'll announce at the perfect time. But the players really are the leaders of these teams, similarly to what you see at a Rockets game. You know, like you go into a Rockets huddle, and I'm sure that they've got the players that are kind of dictating, okay, this is what we would like to see. I don't know if this is going to work, but this will. Same kind of concept happens in TPT. But again, you know, it's very much a college-type game. So there does need to be some set of eyes that are looking at this objectively and telling these guys where they need to go, what needs to happen, all that kind of stuff.
Now, will you, or first, is there a timetable on when the Rob Gray team will be completed? Will he announce that, or will TBT announce that?
It's probably going to come from the Forever Cougs account. If you haven't followed that yet on Instagram and Twitter, I think they might be on TikTok too, but if you haven't followed them yet, check them out. Forever Cougs is the name of the Houston alumni team. What we'd like to have them do is announce it, and then we'll augment that to whatever extent we can. Rob will do the same thing. We'll try to create as much, you know, buzz about the team as we possibly can. They do have a timeline for the next series of player announcements. I think it's going to happen not this weekend, coming up the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, but I think the 8th, 9th, and 10th of March.
Okay. Well,
and you're going to like the names. It's all, I don't want to get too far with it, but it's all guys that you would want to see, you know, and that's really how we judge an alumni team. You know, is this a team that we think fans are going to respond to? And I think that undoubtedly this is one that they're going to like.
I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to assume whoever completes the roster for Forever Cougs, I covered them when they hooped at Houston. So we go back a long ways with them, and I'd love to do my part in helping you know, promote the games at Fertitta Center and TBT overall. You touched on Forever Cougs on social media. What about TBT? What's their website and Twitter and all that good stuff?
Well, the website is thetournament.com. So just Google thetournament.com or type that into your browser. And we do a basketball event and a soccer event. The basketball event is TBT. The soccer event is TST. TST will happen in early June in Cary, North Carolina. For those of you who are soccer fans, that one's going to be awesome. It's all in one spot, very reminiscent of what we did first year for TBT, where all the teams are under sort of one, you know, one admission. So the tournament.com is our website. For basketball, just follow the tournament at the tournament on Twitter or X, whatever, you know, people want to call it now. On Instagram, it's the.tournament, and it's also the tournament on TikTok. But if you just type in TBT in any of these search engines on a social media platform now, you're going to find us. We're excited about it, man. It's going to be great.
How can fans get tickets, you know, specifically to the Houston event, but you know, overall?
Yeah, we have a waiting list that's up right now. If you just click on our website, you're going to find that waiting list, or go to any of our social media handles, you'll find that waiting list. University of Houston has been an awesome partner for us too, and they're going to be sending out some emails. So if you're on a Cougars email list already, you're going to be getting some links to sign up for that waiting list. Tickets are on sale, we believe, middle of April is probably our target date right now. I don't think that date's been fixed yet, but they'll be on sale very soon. One thing that we try to do with all of our tickets everywhere we go is make them as accessible as possible for fans. Okay. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're used to paying $100 for a ticket, At a Cougars game, you may not spend that much at TPT. You know, we want this place to be packed. We want this to be a great, fun experience that families can come to and enjoy a lot of the players that maybe your kids were too young to appreciate when they were there. But now that they're in their teens, they do. Or if you'd missed a chance to see them when they were there, but you're a recent Cougars fan, you get a chance to kind of catch up on some of the history of the guys that, you know, helped build the modern era of Houston basketball.
And I'm going to ask, it sounds kind of naive, but I just want to ask in case folks who do watch this later are curious, concessions and everything like that will be available at Fertitta Center for the games?
Yep. We're going to have a full complement of concessions. I think what we try to do is make all of these games as similar as possible to your experience going to a Houston Cougars game. You know, so you'll see some of the same staff members. You know, if you have an usher that walks you in, hopefully that person is still there over the summer. You know, we want the experience to be similar. You know, it's not going to be identical, obviously, because it's not a University of Houston Big 12 game or things like that. But we want it to be familiar enough that you're having a great time and different enough that you're also experiencing something that you know is unique, you know. And that's really where that Elam ending element comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, Rob Gray hits a 35-footer, you know, to win a game. And I guarantee you, if that happens in front of that hometown crowd, they're going to carry him off the court. You know, that happens everywhere we go. And so those are the kind of experiences that we're trying to create every summer. And hopefully that trend continues. And I have really, really high expectations, both for this team in Houston, as well as for the Fertitta Center generally.
Going forward, got to ask it, is there a chance that this could be the first of many years of a Houston team participating in the game taking place at Fertitta Center?
I hope so. You know, I hope so. And I think that our best regionals are the ones that we can go to 2, 3, 4, and 5 years in a row, you know, and so momentum will build year over year. I think the key thing is that the team performs well. You know, we obviously, it's a single elimination event. They, in theory, could lose round one. They could make it all the way to the quarterfinals. They could win their championship in the first round. We have no idea how this is going to play out. But based upon the stuff that I've seen so far, the names that I've seen associated with it, evaluating where these guys are playing overseas, where they are in their careers, and not only that, but the excitement level of the players to play makes a big, big difference when it comes to success on the court. Another big factor, as you can imagine, is how the fan base reacts. Mm-hmm. The aftershocks in Wichita State, for example, they're an excellent, excellent team at home. They're very, very hard to beat at home because they've got 7,000 plus fans there every night cheering them on. You know, it's an undeniable home court advantage. So those kind of things are ones that we evaluate, and let me put it this way. I'm very cautiously optimistic about the success of this regional in Houston. And, you know, obviously Houston's a great city and one that we'd love to be back to for many years if we can.
When will the, I guess, brackets and the teams and matchups be announced?
Middle of June, we'll release our bracket, probably closer to the 20th, I would say, between the 15th and the 20th. Again, I don't know that date has been set as of yet, but we'll release our bracket around that period of time. There's going to be 8 teams in each of these regionals. So what we do on the first game day, you'll have 2 doubleheaders, separate admission. There'll be an afternoon session and then there'll be an evening session.
Okay.
The Forever Cougs team is going to play in that evening session. They'll be the anchor tenant, so to speak, in that, that evening session. Round 2 will then be on Sunday, probably in the 12 to 4 PM timeframe. And then that following third round game will be on Tuesday night. But yeah, so the brackets will come out. I think that people will be happy with the teams that are going to be there. There's some other alumni teams that are brewing that we haven't announced yet that I think could be of local interest, and some ones that will be certainly easy to root against as well. So, you know, we try to give something to everybody. The other thing is, like, when we place these teams in regionals, we think about not just the quality of the teams themselves. You know, we don't want to have a regional that is totally top heavy with 4 number one seeds. But by the same token, we all want to put teams where they belong, you know? So if you've got a team that's got a strong Texas presence, why would we not have them in Houston?
Right. This question, will the games, or will day one games in Houston be streamed or televised? Linear?
They'll be visible. Yes. We're not ready to announce yet the streaming plans and television plans, but I think that you'll be able to see these games for sure.
Excellent. All right, Dan, thank you very much for taking time to add some details and specifics about TBT and, of course, Forever Cook participating this year in July in the games at Fertitta Center, and Rob Gray leading the charge of the team. Looking forward to the announcements of the other players on the roster Is there anything you want to add that we didn't touch on?
No, just remember to check out thetournament.com. You can get all the information about TBT. If you're new to TBT and this is the first time you're ever hearing about it, I just would say do some digging on it because you're going to love it. I think it's a lot of fun. We're all sports fans, and this was created by fans for fans. These players all play in this event because they want to play in it. They're not compelled to do it. They all want to be back playing in front of you again. A lot of these guys, as you can imagine, Chris, are playing overseas in countries that are hard to even pronounce. When you can get them back in the Fertitta Center in front of the fans that made them the players that they are, they respond really, really well. And I think that fans are going to be really happy to see these guys back in Houston colors again.
And as far as media, will we need to fill out allocations for credentials, or how does that work?
Yeah, we'll have a process in place for that. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you courtside there.
I'll be there. That's my plan. So thank you very much, Dan, for taking time to talk to me. Dan Friel, a TBT co-founder. Looking forward to these games in July at Fertitta Center. Dan, you take care. Keep in touch.
Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate the time.